Blog Talk Radio. welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe another Twisted Mister or two. How are you, Pam? I hope everyone's having a great week, by the way. Hi, Pam.
Hello. And yes, I am having a great week. And how about yourself?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, it varies from moment to moment, it seems. But it's pretty good so far.
I get that. I get that. So, yeah.
But that's the story of my life. Anyway, it was short and sweet. Anyway, yes, happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday.
Yes, definitely.
I kind of looked at this Tuesday like, well, you know, I have a folder full of muses in my possession. Maybe we'll do something on the muses. And I thought, you know, it's kind of appropriate. You know, it's poetry and what are the three muses of poetry alone? It's kind of interesting. So I said, well, let me just put that together. So definitely put it up, and I was happy to see the rights we received. I was surprised we didn't get as many, but, you know, the weather is breaking and people are getting out. Well, you know, maybe they just don't like me. I don't know which. But anyway, it works. It works, right? Happy to
absolutely.
Have.
Got some great responses. Awesome poetry tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, so, you know, it worked out well for tonight. I actually should put it up ahead of time. Maybe that was what the problem was. I put it up too far in advance.
People were all confused by that. No.
Probably. Absolutely. But it's all good. It's all good. I think we have plenty of poetry for the show tonight and good poetry on at that. And, I can't wait to get the party started. So,
yeah, sounds good.
Yes. So, Pam, tell me about your end of the studio.
My what?
Your end of the studio.
Oh, yes. Well, I would like to, of course, welcome Kate to the show. Welcome, Kate. Glad you could be here.
Kate. Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And I would like to welcome Laurent to the show. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could be here.
Hello, Laurent.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good evening.
Absolutely. Okay, kids, well, I guess we should get the party started. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of anything else in my back pocket, so, you know, the muses have been around way longer than me, you know, and I think their history is understood. Let me see. Okay. Pam, do you want to kick us off on this one?
Sure, I would be happy to.
Okie dokie. Here we go. First poem of the night. The first poem on the board. This is called I Call on My Muses to Bring Me Back to a Creative Life by Jenny Vadeep. So whenever you're ready, Pam.
On the precipice, repressed memories drown me. Oh, dearest muses, sing your heroic music. What is in a word if it can't be named? Whisper to me my destiny. Help me escape the dark. Inspire me to keep penning my darkest of thoughts to my deepest longing fantasies. Glue my confessions down on transparent paper. Lead me to universal truth. Don't let me sink. Dance with the stars and I twinkle our toes. Sing me your joyous melodies, inspiring me to give comedy and laughter. Let it stick to their heads like plaster. Never let my creative spark diminish from within. Keep it flowing with your sweet songs of cheer. Take my wheel recourse and guide me. Take me away from these negative tidal waves and into a new life of love and merriment. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. Laurent, you want to kick us off on this one?
Sure. On that first line, on the precipice, repressed memories drown me. This is a person who needs to write what's inside. as she says, inspire me to keep penning my darkest of thoughts, my deepest longing fantasies. Lead me to universal truth. Don't let me sink. He understands the creative spark inside all of us and needs to keep it flowing, as she says. Your sweet songs of cheer take my wheel recourse and guide me. And that's what a muse does. He hopes for a new life of love and merriment, the opposite of darkest of thoughts. So the unburdening of the self faces the darkness, perhaps, and leads to that life of love and merriment, because it's almost like a confession when you can get what's inside out on paper, and who better to help than our muse?
Yep, yep, yep. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, yes. She's written to quite a few of them, of the quotes that you have, the prompts that you had, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9, which is great because it gives you a lot of scope. And I think yes, suppressed memories are not a good idea. You should never repress or suppress your memories because they come out in different ways. So you know, you could be quite happy one second, the next second something makes you think of the past and that's you down again. So yeah, it's nice to get level, get things out. And I think you did this very well. And I like the last two lines. Take me away from these negative tidal waves and into a new life of love and merriment. I think that's a great idea. So thank you, Jenny, for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I like this one. I like that she was inspired by multiple muses because I think as poets, we need to call upon multiple muses. It's a wonderful write on the whole idea of hoping that we will be able to express our deepest emotions through our writing. And great lines all the way through, but I was especially drawn to these lines. Glue my confessions down on transparent paper. Lead me to universal truth. Don't let me sink. I like that because I think as poets that we need to be open to being led to a universal truth, no matter what it is. So very well done.
Right. Great comment. Yeah, I think that this was a nicely penned piece and a great plea to the muses. You know, I thought it was very well done by Jenny. But I did have, I grabbed the last stanza because I thought that was, it kind of summed the whole thing up. You know, never let my creative spark diminish from within. Take my wheel of recourse and guide me. Take me away from these negative tidal waves and into a new life of love and merriment. Absolutely. You know, it just was well tied together at the end. So nice job, Jenny, and thanks for sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Calliope's Prayer by Mystic Muse. And I'm going to give this one a read. Because it rhymes, I think. Calliope's Prayer by Mystic Muse. Calliope, please hear my prayer. I thank you for the gifts you share to bring the poet out in me and help me write so gracefully. I praise you for your eloquence, for giving me a special sense to hear your song each time I write. For that, I am your accolade. Sweet muse, your gift of poetry has set the bard within me free, and from my heart I now decree I'll worship you eternally. End poem. Pam, you want to start us off?
Yeah, this is wonderful. A great brevity with, as always, spot on rhyme and flow. All three stanzas just flow beautifully, one into the next. And Dave has this way of knowing the exact right word to use. And I think he does that when he chooses the words eloquence and acolyte to express what he wants to say. And this is beautiful all the way through. But I did especially like that second stanza, and I like how this acknowledges the gift of poetic abilities. You know, it's not something everybody has, and so it's something to be thankful for. So very well done.
Great comment. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, it was really neat. I liked it so much. Bear with me, and my little mouse is playing games again. It's lovely that I praise you for your eloquence, for giving me a special sense to hear your song each time I write. For that, I'm your acolyte. Now, it's so good. His rhyming is so spot on. It's incredible. I love it. And, you know, it's also great for me that there's no words that I can't pronounce, which I really appreciate. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I haven't got caught this time. Great. I love it. And yeah, beautifully done. Very well done, Mystic Muse, and thank you for sharing.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, and Laurent, how about you?
It's entitled Calliope's Prayer. And the first line is, Calliope, please hear my prayer. The poem itself is structured like a prayer. It reminds me so much of things that you could hear in church. I'm sure we're all familiar with the kind of prayers that exist. And she does a nice job with this. It's simple, but clear. It doesn't have any flourishes. It speaks from the heart. As the last stanza says, sweet muse, your gift of poetry has set the bard within me free. From my heart I now decree I'll worship you eternally. I thought it was very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The Psalm of David, I love it. great one, Dave. Like it. Great job. Yeah, I really like this piece, which is kind of not a surprise because I am drawn to the rhyming poems. But it was a lovely write, Dave. Excellent brevity. And each stanza was really good. But I had to grab up the intro stanza as well. Calliope, please hear my prayer. I thank you for the gifts you share that bring the poet out in me and help me write so gracefully. And that you do, Dave, that you do. Much enjoyed, and thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for my next magic trick, Kate, I'm going to put this piece up for you. This is called Echo by My Angels 3.
Okay. I'll give you a nice echo there. just bear with me. I'm just refreshing. Oh, this is the good part. There we got it, you little devil, you. My Angel 3. This one is Sing to Me, O Muse. My love is a lonely ghost, haunting waking dreams, unconscious of his fate, crumbling at the seams. Oblivious to entanglement, his armor no longer gleams. I bury him in the shadows. He exists only in daydreams. It's perfectly possible to die of a broken heart. When will grows weary, souls seek to depart. This is something that I know, for I died many years ago. My love is just a lonely ghost, an apparition that won't let go, weaving in and out like fabric, an afterglow of a faded echo. End poem.
Nice. Nice read, Kate. All right, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, I like this from beginning to end. My love is a lonely ghost, finishing in an afterglow of a faded echo, and everything in between is wonderfully done in terms of the self-description is armor no longer gleams. I bury him in the shadows. He exists only in daydreams. Speaking of that lonely ghost, and to treat love like a lonely ghost is a fascinating personification. As she says, an apparition that won't let go, weaving in and out like fabric, an afterglow of a faded echo. And very well read by Katie.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I think this is great. She did a wonderful job of writing to the muse of tragedy. And great read there, Kate. And, you know, I really liked that she told a story with not a lot of line and a wonderful first-person narrative that speaks on the tragedy of someone who dies from a broken heart and just feels themselves fading away. I really liked the second stanza with oblivious to entanglement, his armor no longer gleams, I bury him in the shadows, he exists only in daydreams. And then that couplet was a nice touch too. This is something that I know, for I died many years ago. That's the point where you see the twist in the plot, and I like that. I like a good twist in the plot. So wonderful, dark, emotive light, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Kate, how about you?
Well, I mean, it was just a lovely poem. I really liked it a lot. I'm a bit annoyed at myself for mucking up that stanza. I read when will, as in when's it going to happen, instead of when will, which is, you know, you tried to get something to happen yourself. So I made a mistake there. So silly and sorry. Other than that, it was lovely. I loved that last stanza. My love is just a lonely ghost, an apparition that won't let go, weaving in and out like fabric, an afterglow of a faded echo. I love that. I love the idea of an echo. But you know, you're calling out to somebody you really want to answer you, and it's just your own voice coming back. Yeah. Lovely, beautifully done. Thank you so much, my angel Steve.
I have to agree with that. I definitely thought this was a wonderful take on the prompt. Great lines throughout. Now, what did I just do here? I screwed something up. I picked the one stanza and the couplet. It's perfectly possible to die of a broken heart. When will grows weary, soul seeks to depart. This is something that I know, for I died many years ago. So it's a past tense kind of, yep, this is the way it is. And I thought that was just cleverly written. So well done, well done. Thank you, My Angels 3, for sharing with us tonight. Absolutely. And I really muffed up this whole comment that I made. Okay. Dagnabbit. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. What that was?
Suffering Socrates.
Okay. Yes, suffering Socrates.
Yeah. I'm practicing my American accent. It's not going too well.
Okay, so that was Katie. You have to come up for Laurent. Okay, Laurent. I give you this piece by Cedar Chapman, and it's called The Office. So whenever you are ready.
All right. Ready? The Office. I wanted to learn how to strum a guitar, to sing songs that could carve canyons and paint skies. But my mom thought beans and rice were more important than music lessons. She never understood that no matter how many seconds or thirds I'd eaten, I'd never be truly full. I guess when babies are crying from hunger pains, chords and lyrics are just fleeting favors for the privileged. So I find myself in a conundrum where words themselves can't express my feelings, like only music can. But to crack open my sternum, expose the raw flesh, the marrow and the twisted sinew petrifies me. Well, that and the fact I can't sing worth a can of beans my mom spent to feed me. Instead, I write everything in my 5x8 notebook. I'm not your lover, nor the father of our 3 future children, not even the man who built our future home with 5 bathrooms because teenagers fighting over toilets, mirrors, and showers are just a pain in the ass that eats into our below time. We're just two friends having lunch, saying our hellos and goodbyes like a punch clock. One of us is a pacifist. The other wants to karate chop accountant Bill in the larynx so he would stop interrupting our precious moments with his timeshare stories of Hawaii. I dream one day I would leave my notebook accidentally and conspicuously in your view. You would read every word while stroking your hair behind your ear. Your eyes would water because someone dear to you has been drowning in your beauty, writhing in wanton desire to carry you far away in a silky acoustic bound. Then I would crawl under the filthiest boulder in our staff parking lot, play in the dirt with earthworms and cockroaches until everybody leaves work for the day. Come out only when it was pitch black to begin sending resumes like wartime propaganda, run like Forrest Gump. I would look over my shoulder at my new job each time sunlight hit my face, because that would remind me of your glowing warmth, that there is good in this universe, and I deserve you, and you might just visit me in my new cubicle wearing a baby blue cardigan and an endearing smile. But I'll keep on writing in black ink and save this page with a green ribbon because they remind me of the color of your hair, your hazel eyes. And we'll continue to have lunch together, avoiding the corner Lebanese place since Middle Eastern spices make you gassy. We wouldn't love that, especially when your desk is right next to mine, just inches away. End poem.
Nice read, Laurent. Kate, you want to start us off?
Oh, yes, certainly. This is really lovely. What a beautiful flow this had. And so many insights and so many pieces of information. And I love the... He's down and he's depressed and he's not sure. But then we have that beautiful stanza. I'm not your lover, nor the father of our three future children. Not even the man who built our future home with five bathrooms. Because teenagers fighting over toilets, mirrors and showers are just a pain in the ass that eats into our mellow time. We are just two friends having lunch. So he has so many thoughts and wishes. But at the moment, it's still a case of we're friends having lunch. Oh, I thought it was beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. It was I love the flow of it. I've already said I love the flow of it. It didn't stop start, which sometimes happens. You could just read this in a lovely, easy way. So yes, most enjoyable. Thank you so much for sharing.
Nice comment, Kate. And Pam, how about you?
Well, as always, a very impressive write by Peter Chapman. Strong imagery and metaphors. I like how this is written about the complexity of love, and especially a secret love, where you admire somebody and you love somebody, but they don't know, and you write all this poetry about them. And a part of you, there's such a sense of confusion because part of you wants them to find the poetry, and part of you feels like you would just die of embarrassment and have to start a new life over. And I like how this speaks on the reality of love and life in an office together. I liked the tidbits of humor in it, especially saying hello, our hellos and goodbyes like a punch clock. One of us is a pacifist. The other wants to karate chop accountant Bill in the larynx so he would stop interrupting our precious moments with his timeshare stories of Hawaii. There's definitely... a wonderful roller coaster ride of emotions throughout this. And that ending with the corner Lebanese place, since Middle Eastern spices make you gassy, we wouldn't want that, especially when your desk is right next to mine, just inches away. I, of course, had to have a bit of fun with Peter when I wrote a comment to him. And I said, I'm guessing you're not like James Joyce, who wrote letters about his beloved Nora's farts. I just couldn't read those. But, yeah, I thought it was a wonderful write and very well done.
Right. Great comment, Sam. Great comment. And, Laurent, how about you?
Not your typical love poem, eh? Fascinating piece, the way it was written. I was wondering where it was going. But, you know, when he gets down to the part, I dream one day I would leave my notebook accidentally and conspicuously in your view. You'd read every word while stroking your hair behind your ear. Your eyes of water because someone dear to you has been drowning in your beauty. You know, the awareness that she is admired is very well handled there. But then lapsing, writhing in wanton desire to carry you far away, a silky acoustic ballad. And of course, that's what's behind every love poem. No matter how perfect it is, there's always a little bit of the lust that has to combine with the love. Because the two do go together, I guess. But that matters not. I like the poem. I like the way it ends when your desk is right next to mine, just inches away. Certainly implies the possibility of success. It's nicely done.
Yep. Great comment. I think this is an excellent write by Cedar. Wonderful story, well told. I mean, because it was a story. You know, he definitely told a long tale there. And it was a great take on the chosen prompts. I thought it was a great job. I picked up the stanzas from, I had eaten, I'd never be truly full. I guess when babies are crying from hunger pains, chords and lyrics are just fleeting favors for the privileged. So I find myself in a conundrum where words themselves can't express my feelings, like only music can. But to crack open my sternum, expose the raw flesh, the marrow and the twisted sinew petrifies me. Well, that and the fact I can't sing worth the can of beans my mom spent to feed me. Instead, I write everything in my 5x8 notebook. It makes that transition from the music to the poetry. And I think that was wonderfully done. So excellent job, Cedar. Really enjoyed this piece, and thank you so much for writing for the contest. Great work. Let me see. Because I'm not prepared. Nothing unusual there. And Pam, I think that brings me back to you.
Yes, I believe so.
Well, I'm going to have you read Betty Page, The Goddess of Starlight. And put that up. And whenever you're ready.
Shimmering silver bright stars, illuminating divine, strewn amidst sapphire skies, fine blue violet canvas, sweet goddess of starlight reign, elevates high in new realms, adorned with midnight's diamonds, summer's mystical magic, swimming slowly in blue skies, alchemist's fine magic, alluring, powerful, enchanting, divine gods, sweet goddess of starlight reigns, elevates high in new realms, adorned with midnight's diamonds, summons mystical magic, shimmering silver bright stars, illuminating divine, strewn amidst sapphire skies, fine blue violet canvas, and poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. Kate, you want to kick us off on this one?
Yes, of course. Yeah, that was a lovely read, Pam. Really lovely. I like this. I love all the shimmering and the colors and the sweet goddess of starlight rains, which is lovely because I don't know if you've been lucky enough to be in an area where there isn't much artificial light. Like I was up in the Highlands and it's black, and you look up and the sky is incredible. It's like a total carpet of twinkling, beautiful lights. And if you're lucky, you see one of those, what are they called, falling stars? Yeah, good. So this actually took me right back to that in front of a campfire, looking at the starlight, the front of your body burning hot and the back freezing cold. that's about right. So yes, I thought this was absolutely lovely. Again, you see, it's this, the colours, shimmering silver bright stars illuminating divine, strewn amid sapphire skies, fine blue violet canvas. Just really lovely. Well done, Betty. I really enjoyed this. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
A poem about starlight, about silver bright stars, about a fine blue violet canvas, speaking of midnight's diamonds, an alchemist's finest magic, and the stanza, shimmering silver bright stars illuminating divine, strewn amid sapphire skies, fine blue violet canvas. It's hard to write a bad poem about starlight and a goddess of stars, and anything to do with the night sky filled with persuasions of galaxies, the incredible vistas that space offers, so well translated into a poem about a muse, starlight, goddess of a starlight. I really like this by Betty Page, a little softer than some of the poems that she writes. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment. And Kate, how about you, girlfriend?
Did I not just comment, no?
Yes, you did.
See, I'm confused. Okay,
I think I'm ready.
Pam, it's your turn.
Yes. I thought this was a wonderful write, beautiful imagery. I like how it speaks on the magic and enchantment and the mystery of the night sky. And great lines all the way through, but I particularly like sweet goddess of starlight reigns, elevates high in new realms, adorned with midnight diamonds, summons mystical magic. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Nice comment, Pam. You know, there's a whole lot of this. That's why it's hard for me to keep track. I thought this was a great poem by Betty. Lovely imagery throughout, and it was well written. It was a different kind of a thing for Betty. It was a little less sensual than some of her work. But I liked it very much. I grabbed these two stanzas. Shimmering silver bright stars, illuminating divine, strewn amidst sapphire skies, fine blue violet canvas. Sweet goddess of starlight reigns, elevates high in new realms, adorned with midnight's diamonds, summons mystical magic. It kind of unfolds in front of your eyes. You know, you can kind of see it. And that's what I liked about it, because I could kind of just visualize it. So a wonderful job, and thanks for writing. I appreciate it, Betty. It's always good to hear from you. Absolutely. And since Pam read that one, it's back to me. Somebody's got to keep track of me. Pam, that's your job. Here we go. This poem is called Still Falling by J.C. Anders. Let's see if I can do it justice. Still falling, eyes turned to rust, offering silent wishes to that momentary shooting star. Falling into ashes, trails of fading dust, breathless and still in that strange way. Tonight, where dreams are made, rare as they may seem, waiting and breathless. In that strange way, as when true love is sometimes found, and then one day it is simply lost. End poem. What a nice poem. Okay, so I guess I don't know where I'm going from here. So, Laurent, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, this is a fine piece. Tonight, where dreams are made, rare as they may seem, waiting and breathless in that strange way when true love is sometimes found. And then, of course, one day it is simply lost. you can come upon it as easily as can be and lose it in exactly the same way, still falling. It's a great phrase, and she uses it to great effect, the first and the second stanza. And I like the cleverness that's behind this little poem. Nice job, JC.
Mm-hmm. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this was so reflective and sweet. Looking into, I mean, you're looking at stars and you're looking at these twinkling, beautiful stars. And you don't know if they're still actually there. They could have died before the light ever gets to us. So I find that quite odd that I'm looking at something and thinking, oh, it's got a bit of a red tinge to it, or it's got a little bit of icy blue to it. And then I'm thinking, it might not even be there. It could just have been gone. So that I find it, it's just an odd feeling for me, because I kind of like things to be as I see them. I don't want to be surprised by anything. It just be what I can see and I'll be fine. So yes, I did. I like this a lot. And that last stanza was so lovely. In that strange way, as when true love is sometimes found, and then one day it is simply lost. Ah. Yes, beautifully done. Sad, but very sweet. Thank you, JC.
Nice, nice. And Pam, how about you, girlfriend?
Oh, this has wonderful imagery and metaphors. That was like a beautiful and heartfelt write on how love inspires poetry, whether it's the beginning of love where it's first discovered, or, you know, the end of love where we lose it, it falls away. Either way, it, or anywhere in between, it inspires poetry. And this is beautifully written all the way through, but I did especially like where he goes, tonight, tonight, where dreams are made, rare as they may seem, waiting and breathless. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Big comments, everybody. I thought this was just a wonderful brevity and a great take on the prompt, you know, the muse of tragedy. I also went for the last two stanzas. Tonight, tonight, where dreams are made, rare as they may seem, waiting and breathless. In that strange way, as when true love is sometimes found, and then one day it is simply lost. You know, that's a tragedy, I have to say. So excellent job, and thank you, JC, for sharing with us tonight. Great job. Let me see. So, oh, well, there's a girly right. There we go. Let me put this piece up. This is called Cocoons by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio. Oh, let me hit that button.
My life without you grew arid. Love dried and died. Sandstorms abraded. Shelter denied. I was a mere desiccated husk, hardly alive, with each tortured breath forced to survive. For who, for what, and why? A light breeze carried the aroma of flowers, a cruel tease. I wiped the sand from my eyes to see a pool of turquoise crystal clear water, sparkling and cool. I thought this a mirage. Although, in the shade of palm trees and berry bushes, it did not fade. I slipped into your languid embrace, my body revived, bowed by the caring liquid cocoon love can provide.
Great job there, Kate. Wonderful. Wonderful audio. Okay, Pam, do you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. This is beautiful. A wonderful story, right? And great read there, Kate, inspired by the muse of love poetry. And I like that, you know, as you oftentimes do, you give us a twist, but this time it instead of a dark twist at the end, it's a twist that of what love can provide, how love can replenish us. I really like this all the way through. I like the haunting emotiveness of the beginning lines that speak on what it's like to be without love. I really particularly like the imagery, and I wiped the sand from my eyes to see a pool of turquoise crystal clear water sparkling and cool. And then, of course, that ending and the use of the word buoyed by the caring liquid cocoon love can provide, where all of a sudden you feel safe and nourished and taken care of. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam.
Thanks, comment, Pam. And Laura, how about you?
Yeah, I love the imagery of a pool of water being a love. You know, there's a full body immersion, and that's certainly what love requires, all of you, not just part of you. So that slipping into the pool, which she calls a liquid cocoon, you know, something indicating the security of love, among other things, that love possesses as a characteristic, that safety, that recognition that she's being cared for, as so well described and well written about. That's fun.
Great.
Thank you.
Great comment. Yeah, Kate, I have to say, you know, this is beautifully written. In the beginning, I'm going, okay, because I happen to see what prompt you chose. I'm going, okay. You start reading it, and I'm going to desiccated high skin. I'm going, oh, Lord, what happened here? I kept going, all this, and I was like, oh, there you go, there you go. You just brought us all the way down to ground level before you let us come up a little bit. You know, it's pretty good. I like that very much. Always a twist. Like Pam said, always a twist. But beautifully written, and love can certainly bring us back to life. That's for sure. And I grabbed the last three stanzas. You know, I wiped the sand from my eyes and all the way down. I just thought that was just wonderful because that was where you definitely hit on the muse. You know, that you chose, and I think it was wonderful. So great job, girlfriend, great job.
Thank you, my dear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Laurent, I have the next poem up for you. It's called The Mist of Creation by Daniel Duhaime.
All right. Through the doorway of enlightened dreams, down the passageway leading towards the hallway of creation lies the beautiful maidens of gilded quills who toil with the music played by the gods through the veil of imagination that can only be given to the pure of heart so that verse and syllables will not be tainted by lust but flow freely through the floodgates of laced prose and a torrent of intricate words, summoned to life by the ghost of Homer, who infects the soul in an uncontrollable possession as the inner universe vibrates at an unseen level through clouds of transparent entity, floating in a void beyond apprehension. End poem.
Nice read. Nice for you. Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is just a very beautiful and thoughtful write. I even like the title, The Mist of Creation. And I really thought this had wonderful imagery and was a great write on honoring the spirituality within poetry and how there's a kind of sacredness to it. And I like this all the way through, but I especially like that end stanza where it says, as the inner universe vibrates at an unseen level through clouds of transparent entities, floating in a void beyond comprehension. You know, I feel like that oftentimes poets are given a gift to see those vibrations or feel those vibrations at an unseen level and then translate it into words that everybody else can read and understand. I think this is beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, where did my comment go? Oh, okay. And Laurent, how about you? I think that's where I'm at. Oh, maybe not.
Yeah. No, I'm here. The beautiful maidens of gilded quills, I thought was a great phrase, and they toil with the music played by the gods. I don't imagine it was an unpleasant toiling and special in the regard that it can only be given to the pure of heart, because it shall not be tainted by lust. It's something about the laced prose and intricate words that should not be tainted by, you know, a base animal loss. And I can understand that, because there's a purity that's desired, perhaps, in love and in certain poems that would be tainted by a baser instinct. So from that point of view, I absolutely agree, and I think this is a beautiful piece by Daniel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great comment. And Kate, I didn't ask you, did I?
No, I don't think so, but then I don't know what day is.
Well, okay, you don't know and I don't know, so go ahead and give us a second go round if that's the case.
Why not? Why not? I'll wax more lyrical than I did the first time. I thought this was immensely impressive. I really did. I loved it. There is the beauty in the lines. None of them actually, you know, are the same length of syllables or whatever. It doesn't make a jot of difference. It's just such a delight. I mean, we all know the difference between getting that idea and flowing and going with it, and the other side of the coin where you're struggling desperately to find something to say. So it is, it really is to do with feelings. The inner universe vibrates at an unseen level. I truly believe that is the case. Because, as I say, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, but it doesn't stop us. No matter how cruddy the work is, it doesn't stop us. We have to keep going. It's something inside that, which I had never understood before. Something inside, you want to put something out there. So I can see this is just beautifully done. And I did enjoy it so much. The first two lines, through the doorway of enlightened dreams, down the passageway leading toward the hallway of creation. Well, that's exactly what I was saying, basically, isn't it? But he puts it so much nicer. Yes, I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing, Daniel. It was wonderful.
Yeah, great comments, everybody. I thought this was a great write by Daniel. Well-written take on the chosen prompt, which was the muse of love poetry. And I grabbed that first stanza as well, through the doorway of enlightened dreams, down the passageway leading towards the hallway of creation, lies the beautiful maidens of gilded quills, who toil with the music played by the gods through the veil of imagination that can only be given to the pure of heart, so that verse and syllables will not be tainted by lust. Yeah, no, I thought that was just a beautiful stanza. The whole piece was nice, but that's where my eyes got like stuck. Like, that's what I wanted to hit on. So great job, Daniel, and thanks for sharing with us, as always. It's always fun. Okay. Now, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up this piece by Eric Svensson, and I have an audio for this. Here we go.
Oh, yes, then that would be my job to push play. Sorry.
That's right. I have you with the buttons tonight. Wow.
Yes, That's right. I'm the one who gets to flex my fingers and push the button.
Like, I've been pushing buttons for years. I can't help it. Ask anybody. They'll tell you. Oh, gosh.
Shine thy golden orb countenance, O nimble Polyhymenia, thimble my keen fingers with your soulful pertinence. Crack the code, bring the ode, penance until I do. Sensual soul slip through staid salamander fingers, pander, ponder, wander too long. Buttress chest imprisons analytical heart, cobwebbed categorical catacombs. O nimble Polyhymenia, my wish is simple. Crack the code, bestow the ode, penance until you do. Richer than Crucius I'd be, glow brighter than the Taj Mahal at sunrise, quieter contemplation than the Mount Rushmore presidents, deeper diligence than the Mississippi's wide wake, keener will than Lady Liberty's flaming torch. Code stolen, ode bought, purgatory penance pinches, willing bondsman bows, sacred poetry and hymns, dance and eloquence, staid salamander fingers fumble through honeycomb hymens, sensual sylphs whisper encouragement. O noble Polyhymenia, I shall become a nymph, spelunker delve into love's layered labyrinth, monk meander martyr mazes, deft cobwebbed categorical catacombs, devoid of sacred poetry and hymns, dance and eloquence. O virtuous Polyhymenia, my wish is simple. Wonderment's code revered, opulent odes bequeath, purgatory's penance vanquished. As a volatile Aquarian age birth water breaks, shine thy golden orb countenance upon all poets. End poem.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Laurent, you want to start us off on this one? Off mute, maybe?
That would be the best thing. I agree.
Only if you want to be heard.
Nimble Polyhymenia, thimble my keen fingers with your soulful pertinence. Crack the code, ring the ode, penance until I do. He does a great job with this piece, which he uses as inspiration. He mentioned that he'd be richer than Croesus and glow brighter than the Taj Mahal at sunrise and be contemplative with deep diligence and keener than Lady Liberty's flaming torch. That's quite a level of brightness. But he tells all the things that he would become. I shall become a nymph. Spelunker delve into love's layered labyrinth. Monk meander. Martyr mazes. He plays the alliteration very skillfully. And finishes somewhat enigmatically. Where is it? Shine thy golden orb countenance upon all poets. Well, that's not really enigmatic. No, that is quite frankly pretty declarative. I can never wrap up Eric's poems with a nice neat little bow because they're different that way. They require quite a lot of picking up of rocks and looking underneath them to see exactly what's there. He's a great poet, and I enjoy this piece.
They come around. And Kate, how about you?
As ever, he offers us a beautiful write and does it so well. He kind of dived into the deep end of the alliteration this time. Wow, so cool. And he reads it as if it's like, you know, it's ABC. It's so easy for him. Well, it sounds to be easy for him. Probably isn't. But I really enjoyed it. There was one particular stanza, which of course I can't find now because it's gone away. It disappeared. It slipped off my screen. Where are you? Oh, yeah. No, not that one either. Hmm. Oh, well, we'll forget that because I can't find it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Quieter contemplation than the Mount Rushmore presidents. Deeper diligence than the Mississippi's wide wake. Keener will than Lady Liberty's flaming torch. That's just so clever and so nice. I really enjoyed it. And I did enjoy the repetition of the code and the ode and the penance. I thought that also was incredibly neat. Yeah, I think he did a wonderful job. I enjoyed this a lot. So thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Keith. And Pam, how about you, huh?
Oh, I really like this one. Wonderful imagery and metaphors, great use of alliteration. I like that he provided a SoundCloud, because I would have stumbled over some of those word choices. But this is absolutely stunning in that it speaks on the idea to me of seeking the gifts of the poetic heart and mind, seeking the gifts of a free spirit and an open mind and open heart. I really like, "O noble Polyhymnia, I shall become a nymph, spelunker delve into love's layered labyrinth, monk meander, martyr mazes, deft cobweb, categorical catacombs, devoid of sacred poetry and hymns, dance and eloquence." You know, and the idea that everything, like feeling like that you will be lost without the ability to, express the sacredness through poetry. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And yeah, I have to say, I thought this was very well done by Eric. As usual, he does a fine job. A great story told in this piece. And I loved his imagery and the alliteration throughout. Just another wonderful piece he's penned for us. And I'm with you, Pam. I pulled the same exact stanza that you just quoted, so I'm not going to quote it again. And I grabbed the next line down after that, and I thought that was just a well-done set. Really a lot of alliteration in this one, which is, like, he usually does use alliteration, but this seemed to be a little more, and I thought it was just a little richer in it. So, excellent job, and thank you very much, Eric. And I agree with him. Thank you for that SoundCloud, because God knows I would have mangled that poem. Just saying. Okay. Pam, we're going to put the... Well, no. Yes. Yes, no, yes, no. I'm going to put this next piece up for you. And this is called Recast by Ima Lima.
All right. Let's see here. Daughter Thalia was muse of comedy, so Dad Zeus called her to Mount Olympus high above to find out why other gods were not watching him in his sitcom. Thalia figured this the case and knew her dad's show was a bomb, but could not say that to his face. So Thalia told Zeus that he was better suited to the role of high drama, not comedy. Instilling fear should be his goal. Thus, letting thunder, lightning loose, became the new trademark of Zeus. End poem.
Oh, my gracious. Little hot dog. All right. All right.
Hello?
Who are you speaking to there, Dean?
You.
Oh, okay. You. I'm sorry. I missed that entirely. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
I just need to... Now, it's going to sound strange, but am I reading this or am I reacting to it?
Reacting to it. Pam just read it.
Right. I'm not sure where my head was. Can you come right back to me, please?
Sure. Kate, you want me to go ahead and give us a comment?
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to. I thought this was very clever. I liked it a lot. It was, Talia was muse of comedy. So Dad just called her to Mount Olympus high above to find out why his other gods were not watching him in his sitcom. That's so good. So he's taken that muse and he's just turned it right around and made it really, really funny. And he was better suited to the role of high drama, not comedy. Oh, what a slap in the face. Or I suppose a cake in the face. Comedy. Oh, the run, that sounds so bad. You need to get a good cough bottle. Cavonia. I swear by Cavonia if you've got a cough. Great. Yeah, so, thus letting thunder lightning loose became the new trademark of Zeus. Yes, I have to say, a very clever, very interesting read and write. So, thank you so much for sharing.
Okay. Good job. Ron, are you ready? You want me to go to Pam?
Yeah, no, I'm ready, and I do apologize for that noise. I think I'm coming down with something. I like the title to this, Recast. It's an interesting little story of Zeus picking up a new trademark. I wasn't sure that any of these poems were likely to be humor. This one is absolutely humor. Not watching him in his sitcom. I wish there was a sitcom of the gods. That'd be pretty funny. They sit there talking about humanity. And the bad job that they're doing, they're controlling the people. But that's all right. High drama, not comedy. Installing a fear should be his goal. Was letting thunder lightning loose became the new trademark of Zeus. And lo, to this day, he does a good job. Bring those bolts. Nicely done.
Nice job. Okay, Pam, I think I'm coming to you.
Yes, I think this is an excellent write. A great take on the prompt. I really like that he chose Thalia, the muse of comedy. And it's funny because, you think of it, nine daughters, and she gets stuck with telling Dad, the Zeus, that his sitcom is an absolute bomb and has to somehow deliver the message that she herself doesn't get zapped. I really thought this was clever all the way through, but especially – where he says, Thalia figured this the case and knew her dad's show was a bomb, but could not say that to his face. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, I thought this was a great take on the prompt myself. Very well expressed. And I loved your humor because she didn't speak of, well, she did, but she didn't really speak of Thalia or to Thalia or have anything to do with what Thalia did. She put it into the comedy of the poem. You know, yes, she mentioned her name, but she wrote to that muse. And I thought that was clever. And I like that. So, well done, Ima Rima. Love that name. Yeah, Ima Rima. We had Ima Rima. Just the Rima thing, I guess. It was a good one. Anyway, great job, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely. And for my next magic trick. Okay, Laura. Next one is for you. Oh, Lord, I lost the room. There it is. Hey, hey, hey. This one is called My Muse by Robert Bielski.
Robert. My Muse. Calliope, the great muse of song, the fable muse of mighty melody, one with a divine voice, the vocal Calliope spoke to me last night. She stirred words into my mind, vivified with allegory and wit, awoke the sacred lyre within. She dwells with me now, always, lodges now beneath my rafters. I recall our first encounter. It walks like the rain. It wafts like fragrance around my mind. Tiny figure, seen only in dreams, dancing in rooms made of sunny windows. So lightly did she leap among the sunbeams. Standing amongst cast-off silken boughs in moonlight, her pulchritude was plenary. Lean, calm, resplendent in a baroque topiary. Ask me, what if your life unfolds when you begin to chant? I hear she's calling me again now, the calm way, like her songs moving carries a trumpet in one hand and a scroll of parchment in the other, calls patiently, appeasing, to play this song next.
Nice read. Nice read. Wonderful, wonderful poem, Robert. Kate, do you want to start us off on this one? Uh-oh.
Sorry, I was on mute, so I do apologize. I'm trying to actually find it, so if you could, if you could maybe go to Pam and come back to me, please.
Sure. Pam, K3 under the bus, can I get you to comment?
Absolutely. Hopefully you can hear me from underneath the bus, but yes, I will comment. I really liked this. It was beautiful. He had a nice gentle touch of alliteration, especially, and she stirred words into my mind, vivified with allegory and wit, awoke with the sacred lyre within. And I like that he mentions the lyre, which was, you know, used in ancient Greek times. And I thought this was a wonderful write in how it speaks of that personal encounter with the muse and hearing her call to you and responding. I thought Calliope was a great choice. And I really thought this was beautiful all the way through, but I especially like standing amongst cast-off silken boughs in moonlight, her pulchritude was plenary, leaned calm, resplendent in a baroque topiary. Ask me, what if your life unfolds when you begin to chant? And I liked how that speaks on the idea of the power of music. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you? Off me? Okay. Kate, would you happen to be ready?
I am, my dear. Yes, thank you. I found it at last. Yes, this was beautifully written. I love that picture. Isn't that so cool? Yes, I thought it was beautifully written, as I've already said, probably. But I like the third stanza was just, I recall our first encounter. It wafts like the fragrance around my mind. Tiny figure, seen only in dreams, dancing in rooms made of sunny windows. So lightly did she leap among the sunbeams. It just gives you that beautiful picture of delicacy and lightness and sweetness as well. She looks very coy. Very, you know. Oh, I will play, but don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm embarrassed. I will sing if you want me to. That kind of look. Yeah, I love it. And I think this is a very clever write and just very sweet. I don't like it saying that, but I did enjoy it. Thank you so much. for sharing.
Right. Iran, are you back? I should say, are you available? I don't think so.
No.
Okay, well, I think this was a beautifully written piece by Robert. Wonderful soft tones in the wording, in the word choices throughout. I thought it was well done, and I really enjoyed the read. These are the two stanzas I picked up. She stirred words into my mind, vivified an allegory, with allegory and wit, awoke the sacred lyre within. She dwells with me now, always, lodges now beneath my rafters. I recall our first encounter. It wafts like the fragrance around my mind. Tiny figures seen only in dreams, dancing in rooms made of sunny windows. So lightly did she leap among the sunbeams. That was great. I really enjoyed it. So well done, Robert, and thank you for writing for the contest and allowing us to use it on the show. Laurent, are you awake? Are you not awake? Are you here or not here? I guess I'll just move on because I don't know. Okay. Kate, I have the next piece for you.
Okay.
And let me find the room. Make sure there's no notes in the room. And this one is by Hatch, and it's called Wandering Dreams.
Okay, I'm just refreshing. Hey, got it. Oh, it's working well tonight. What can I say? Oh, I should have said that. Okay. Wandering Dreams by Hatch. Wandering dreams stand at the crossroads. They belong to me, but the wind buried them with the blowing whoosh. I burn desires to the ashes, and the ash pours through my hands into the river, the brook that roars. Dead sight, mouth shy, palm pierced on thorns of your yellow roses. End poem.
Nice read, Kate. Nice read. Pam, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, wonderful read there, Kate. And what a beautiful write by Hat. As always, she's got strong imagery and metaphors. I like her use of the word whoosh right between the first two stanzas to separate them and give almost that moment of pause and a sense of movement. This has amazing imagery and metaphors. And it speaks well on what it's like to feel such a deep sense of loss and sadness. I especially like, I burn desires to the ashes, and the ash pours through my hands into the river, the brook that roars. Great imagery and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree. I thought this was nicely penned. I like the first stanza, the intro stanza. Wandering dreams stand at the crossroads. They belong to me, but the wind buried them with the blowing whoosh. You know, I love how that started out because it kind of puts the poem in perspective, but then she moves on from there. And she did not state which muse this was, but I'll assume, which I should never do, that is the muse of tragedy, because it's sad. And I'm not sure what other one I would attribute it to. But, you know, I could go back and reread them, but I'm not going to. I think it's a fine job and just, you know, a nice piece for the show, a great addition. So can't ask for more than that. Okay. Laurent, would you like to comment?
Yes. I said, this, for me, was such a delicate poem. It was just, it sat there quite, you know, quite shy. You know, I would love to have all my desires, but I, as usual, I've mucked things up and they're all burned and they're gone to ashes. And the ashes pour through my hands into the river. So it is sad, very sad. But it's somebody who's not giving up, who's not going to say, well, that's my life and I'll just have to put up with it. I don't get that from this poem. I get the thought that, you know, palms pierce from thorns of your yellow roses. But she's still thinking of the person that she cares about so much. So, yes, I thought it was lovely. Very, very sweetly done. Thank you, Hats, for sharing.
Okie doke. Well, Pam, you commented, correct? And I commented. And Kate commented. Okay. And Laurent is MIA, so we're going to move on to another piece. And sure thing. And this piece is called All the Nine by L.G. Mace. And I'm going to give this one a read. Okay. All the Nine by L.G. Mace. All of the great Greek muses, goddesses they'd be in their own mind, all inspire me in each of their gifting hearts. I cannot choose but one to separately find epic poetry, history, or love. All sing to my poet's heart, sending an inspiration's dove of music, tragedy, or sacred poetry most divine, of dance, comedy, and astronomy, poetry of the stars. The nine gifted muses who shared with my sister muse a little part of themselves, into my own poetry their gifts do infuse. On all the pages of my poetry, my bleeding heart has bled. The muse of epic poetry tells the tales of loss or victory, heroes now recorded, though their body lay in the dead, lay with the dead. The muse of music plays the harp of harmony, gifting my muse with the most welcoming gift of song. The muse of tragedy tells of heartache's pain, where once the play of love's fiery heat icily went wrong. The muse of comedy shows that somewhere in poetry a touch of humor, for a change of pace, must surely be found. Though I have not individually named them separately, each stands for a theme that is strong and is securely sound. All of these muses stand for a theme that is so beautifully fine. So I admit to my fault, I cannot separate them from my poetry, which is influenced and inspired by all of the nine. End poem. Nice piece. Nice piece. Kate, you want to start us off?
Yes, certainly. I'd love to. Yes, this is very clever. I like that, using every single one of them. And so basically at the beginning we get... is in the poem, and then she goes on to talk about each one individually. I think it's great. A great idea. And then you have, I like on all the pages of my poetry, my bleeding heart has bled. The muse of epic poetry tells the tales of loss or victory, heroes now recorded, though their bodies lay with death. Very, very beautifully done, and it flowed beautifully as well. So thank you for sharing with us. It was great.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is a wonderful write. I like that she chose to pay tribute to and honor all of the muses and how each one plays a part in the poet's heart and the poet's mind. You know, I really thought this was just an excellent write on the versatility of poetry and how it can be used, you know, to express so many different things and emotions. So wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought this was a nicely penned piece, touching on each of the muses, well pulled together. Great job, LG, and thank you for entering the contest. Wonderful work. So, much appreciated. Now, let me see. Okay, well, Levon, are you back? Well, it's kind of hard for him to read his poetry if he's not here. So, this ought to be interesting. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put this next one up for you.
All right.
And this is by Just Elliot, Erato's love poetry.
Erato, the muse of love and poetry, wears a gown of rosy hues so lovely, adorned with blossoms and shades of pink. Her hair is braided with ribbons to link. Her words are like music that flows like a stream,
with rhythm and rhyme that's like a dream. Her poetry sings of passion and love, her verses like stars that sparkle above. In her hand she holds a quill of gold, her ink like dewdrops that's new and bold. Her lines speak of beauty and sweet desire. Our words ignite flames like a burning fire. O Erato, the muse of love poetry, your art a tapestry that we all want to see. May your colors and beauty forever shine and inspire poets for all of time. End poem.
Nice. Nice read, Pam. Very well done. Kate, you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, I would love to. That was a beautiful read, Pam. I really enjoyed that. And it looks as if it was pleasant and to read as well, because it seems to skip along. Oh, it's got this lovely movement and energy to it, which I really enjoyed. So we have Erato, the muse of love and poetry. I like this. Wears a gown of rosy hue, so lovely. Adorned with blossoms and shades of pink. Her hair is braided with ribbons to link. That's just lovely. Very nice. And we go on to hear about how she speaks beautiful words and talks about desires, and her words ignite flames like a burning fire. I think he did this incredibly well. I thought it was just sweet and light and very nice. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Just Elliot.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is wonderful. A great rhyming poem. Wonderful imagery. I like how it speaks on the passion and desire and the expression of sensual poetry. I did like that end stanza. But I did also like the stanza before that. In her hand she holds the quill of gold, her ink like dewdrops is new and bold. Her lines speak of beauty and sweet desire. Her words ignite flames like a burning fire. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Nice comment. I thought this was just a wonderful poem written. Great take on the chosen prompt, and thanks for writing. I really enjoyed it. Very well done. Her words are like music that flows like a stream, with rhythm and rhyme, it's like a dream. Her poetry sings of passion and love, the verses like stars that sparkle above. Yeah, in her hand she holds the quill of gold. I like that pun too, but you just read it. So let me grab that. Yeah, that was a nicely done poem for sure. And, I think I got everybody, right? Yes, I believe I did. Okay. Let's get out. I'm getting there, girls. Just have to back up a couple of screens.
It's okay. We've got all night. No problem.
Well, we've got a half hour. That's
well, that's all
it.
Night.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's gone quickly. That's gone really quickly.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a half hour, and we got two poems that Laurent was supposed to read, and can't find Laurent. It's pretty amazing.
Oh.
Okay. Kate, I'm going to put this next one up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's not where that goes. It goes here. People were thinking I'm crazy. I started sending them links to poetry. Okay, this is called The Greek Goddess Cleo, by Poetry in Motion.
I've got it. I did have it. Everything about. Got it, The Greek Goddess. Okay. The Greek Goddess Cleo. In ancient times, on Mount Olympus high, there lived the goddess with a watchful eye. Cleo was her name, the muse of history, with knowledge vast and wisdom's mystery. Her strength was found in the power of words, the tales of the past, the songs of the birds. She chronicled all with a keen insight and kept the truth always shining bright. Cleo's love was for the written page. She breathed life into stories and gave them age. Her heart was filled with passion and fire, and her soul burned bright with a poet's desire. For those who sought her, Cleo was kind. Her love for learning the seeker would find, and in her embrace they would soon come to know the stories of old, the history we sow. So let us honor Cleo with the muse divine, and remember the stories that she does enshrine. For in her wisdom we find our way, and through her words we live each day. End poem.
Nice read, Kate. Pam, you want to start us off on this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is a wonderful poem. I like that he chose the muse of history and, you know, a great tribute to the goddess, the muse of history, Cleo. And I like how it speaks on and pays tribute to the wisdom and keen insight, in which she views history. You know, and I think history is such an important thing to keep track of, to remember. And so I thought this was a very thoughtful write. I especially like where he says, Cleo's love was for the written page. She breathed life into stories and gave them age. Her heart was filled with passion and fire, and her soul burned bright with a poet's desire. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Kate, do you want to go next? Do you want me to go first?
No, it's okay. I have no problem. Yes, I thought this was very cool. I like this. I particularly like with, yes, this one. Cleo's love was for the written page. She breathed life into stories and gave them age. Her heart was filled with passion and fire, and her soul burned bright with a poet's desire. It's what I've said before. It's, you know, you don't write poetry. You have to write poetry if you really enjoy it like we do. It's something there that needs to come out, and that's great. And the fact that people enjoy it so much is also, it's just a lovely thing to be able to, I love the rhyming and I love the alliteration. So you can see why this is so good, because it's such a lovely layout. It's written so well, and I thought it was very, very well done. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. I thought this was a great piece. I think he was the only one who took the muse of history. I think it really was the only one. And I think it was done very well. The poem was great. The rhyme was great. The meter was good. You know, I thought it was just beautifully written. And a great take on the prompt. Her strength was found in the power of words, the tales of the past, the songs of the birds. She chronicled all with a keen insight and kept the truth always shining bright. Cleo's love was for the written page. She breathed life into stories, then gave them age. Her heart was filled with passion and fire, and her soul burned bright with the poet's desire. I thought that was just great. So really, really well done. And I thank you so much, Poetry and Poetry in Motion. I'm not sure if that's right or wrong in my mind. But excellent job. And thank you so much for sharing with us. And let's see now. Laurent, are you back? But I guess I'm going to have to carry over or what have you, because one is Lou's and she requested that he read it, and the other one is his piece. And I don't know. So, Pam, I don't know who's reading
this. Yes.
But who read that last one? Did you read it?
I did, yes.
Okay, so Kate, I'm coming to you next. You're going to get to be, put on your man voice.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
This piece is called Prompt 2, History Musings by Bookworm Dave.
Got it.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay, no problem. Prompt 2, History Musings. my words that I composed a while back, encouraged to find a story, one that was not told before. I won't do that anymore. Praying by secular prayer to my secular gods. The sweet whispers of their muses, find my story, write my story. History was my muse. So wisely I typed, researched, made outlines. Now a book carefully taken to the altar is of knowledge, made my sacrifice clearly, prayed again my secular prayer. Maybe the sacred can meet the secular, discuss things and embrace as brothers and sisters. End poem.
Ah, well, very nice. Very nice read. And Kate, do you want to start? Oh, Kate, oh my God. Pam, do you want to start us off? I'd appreciate
She's
it.
Getting us confused, Kate, because we're both short, feisty women. You know?
There you go. Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep.
There's a lot of truth to
but,
that.
I really like this. I really like this. A wonderful take on the chosen prompt. I particularly like history was my muse, so wisely I typed, researched, made outlines. Now a book carefully taken to the altar of knowledge, made my sacrifice clearly prayed, again my secular prayer. A wonderful line. Speaking on the idea of how when you're a poet or an author of any kind, a book is the fruit of your labor. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Very cool, very cool. Hey, Kate, do you want to go next? Because I'm totally not prepared.
Oh, not
sorry.
A problem. That's okay, not a problem at all. I'll just burble on a little bit. Yes, I also, like, as Pam said, I like the fact that he has the history, the research, made outlines, and from there he wrote a book, which I think is great because that's not an easy thing. Carefully taken to the altar of knowledge, made my sacrifice clearly, prayed again in my secular prayer. Oh, very well done. I thought it was really... Yep. My words that I composed a while back, encouraged to find a story, one that was not told before. Well, that wouldn't be easy. Praying my secular prayer to my secular gods. Well, it worked because it is beautifully done, Bookworm Dave, and I enjoyed it. Very well written. Thank you.
Great job. And thank you for filling in there. I thought this was a great write by Dave. Brevity says a lot. Met the prompts, and I think that it was just really nice. It was very well done. You know, just wonderful work. So thank you, Dave, for sharing with us. As always, it's always good to see your poetry up, excuse me, on the board. So well done, and thank you so much. I have to kind of look. You know, I'd love to pull a stanza out of this, but I'm afraid it's just going to pluck it and make everything lopsided. History was my muse, so wisely I typed, researched, made outlines. Now a book carefully taken to the altar of knowledge made my sacrifice clearly. Prayed again my secular prayer. Just really nicely pulled together piece. And great job. Great job. Somebody want to sing or dance? Or something?
Well, I would. I'll dance. I'll dance because I know none of you are actually going to see it.
You're going to use a tap dance, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely. Please. Yes.
Absolutely. It's got to be
a tap dance. But I do know Kate and I both put extra rights on the board in case they were needed. I'm just saying that if you want to fill the time with poetry rather than my dancing, there's that option.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have one more by Ben Hart that I'm going to put up. It's really not on topic at all, so I was kind of like leaving it for the last one. But here we go. And let me see if there's big words in it, if I can read it. You know, it's
That's
a long
cheating.
One.
That's cheating.
Yeah, right. Dying in Dream by Ben Hart. She asked me once, who is the painter and who is the poet in you? And I answered then, before I knew it to be true, the painter, fugitive from the mundane until he finds what perfectly illustrates the outlines of their phantom pain, always on the run from repetition, a part-time schizophrenic, seeing rainbows where others would find none, ignoring a contrast between absence and definition, erasing with carcinogenic brush, bitter from the sweetest love, taking the time to get it right, not rewrite reality in a rush, hoping somewhere in imperfect periphery awaits the release of epiphany, that his muse basking in the sun wasn't standing on a corner he'd ever turn, humming slow her favorite song and still not paying any concern to him, the one who would just get it wrong. She doesn't want him to erase the only thing she never lacked. Just for nostalgia's sake, she wants the bitter to come crashing back to muse. To him, the one who would just get it wrong in his poor attempts to capture whatever they enslaved into his eyes. She lets him know he could never catch her, not before home to Mother March, February flies. And she would have let him in. But seconds was the longest anyone had ever survived when shown the depths of her abyssal soul. She would have wept. Should she not have killed that part of herself all those years ago in the absence of promised tears? She doesn't seem to mourn their deaths, and that there should be truth to that is perhaps her greatest fear of all. At the bleeding out of God's golden glaciers, she lets it be known she will not be found before a golden tide rises to douse the braziers. Every beacon of hope must be drowned. Pillars of smoke holding up heaven collapsed in the winds she commanded to blow, and the wind was so grateful to have somewhere to go. But even Hokusai's greatest fleet of kintsugi tsunamis washed right through her, like she only existed somewhere between waking and sleep. Next time, she whispers, it will work. Next time. When glaciers retreat and the whole world washes over me, I will weep. The poet. To him who doesn't think there would ever be a wrong way to ever catch a glimpse of her and is not afraid to let her exist in absence, like the loving leech trading everything ecstatic for another round of relapse. Once more into brackish breach, she asked him once, who is the painter and who is the poet? And he answered then, before he knew it to be true, they are waking in sleep. They are dying in dream. They are music in motion. Golden stitchwork strung from stars across broken oceans, gladly torn apart, only ever to become one when thinking of you. 4. Do you breathe back and forth or up and down? Let me rephrase that. Do you breathe or do you drown? And foam. Okay. So, Pam, would you like to start us off?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Jean. Beautifully written vignette. And I like how he breaks this down into different creative parts, the painter, the muse, and the poet, and how all of them coincide, and each of them try to be their individual selves, but kind of end up mixing together in a way that almost makes you feel like you're drowning. There's strong imagery and metaphors throughout. I really like at the bleeding out of God's golden glaciers, she let it be known she will not be found before a golden tide rises to douse the braziers. Every beacon of hope must be drowned. I feel like that speaks on the whole idea of oftentimes our greatest art, our greatest poetry comes through our tragedy. I also like they are waking in sleep, they are dying in dream, they are music and motion. I thought those lines had a particularly great lyrical quality to them. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And Weaver girl, how about you?
Oh, this was very nice. This was very deep as well. all the different areas covered. And that picture, what, those colors. I mean, how can you get color that vibrant? Oh, beautiful, isn't it? And then you have that mist. That mist to me in the foreground, background, makes you think that you're walking towards something that is not clear. It's not clear to you, but you know you want to go there. She asked me once, who is the painter and who is the poet in you? I answered then before I knew it was to be true. Fugitive from the mundane until he finds what perfectly illustrates the outlines of their phantom pain. So he's, yeah, somebody who is desperately trying to express himself and wants very much to put all of that out there. But then we have, look, a part-time schizophrenic, seeing rainbows where others would find none. That's another beautiful stanza. So expressive. I mean, it really is. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. There's so much to take in on this particular one that I would like to read it a couple of times, but it's just every line, every stanza is so good. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ben.
Excellent. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I already commented.
See, I'm getting Tina. Swear to God, I am. Okay, well, I already commented in writing, and I'm not going to change it, what I said. So, sorry, I'm going to save this time so we can get these last two poems in. And Weaver, I got your poem up next. It's called "The Air That I Breathe," if you would be so kind.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, we're so polite. I love it.
I know. Let me get off the radio. I'll tell you all about it.
Okay. The air that I breathe. You could not call this an addiction, simply because I won't stop using it. I mean, it's air, mate. It can't be harnessed willy-nilly. It was free, and now you've suddenly decided to limit it. Next, it will be free speech. So I'm taking mine and banking it against lean times to come. Of course not under my bed. Right, I'll have to think of a new place to act. Saunters off casually, stage left, whistling, "Younger than springtime am I." End poem.
I thought it was a great piece, Kate. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I did enjoy this one. It was clever. It was fun. It had great wordplay. I definitely think that when Kate wrote this, you were gifted with the blessings of Thalia, the muse of humor. It's sardonic, it's biting. I liked that you did the wordplay of younger than springtime. And, you know, how it speaks on that idea of the paranoid and the craziness of life. And but it also speaks, and like I like the use of the word willy-nilly and how it speaks on the idea that so much of our freedoms are being taken away. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. I thought it was a great write and very much enjoyed it. I love how you, I love the whistle at the end. I have to say I did. I kind of was like, okay, there we go.
Well, I can't sing, so I had to whistle.
It was a good touch. I liked it. But, you know, you could not call this an addiction simply because I won't stop using it. I mean, it's air. It's air, mate. Raise my eyeballs. I can't be harnessed willy-nilly. It was free, and now you suddenly decide to limit it? You know, really, really. I mean, I just thought it was good. I think you did a great job with it, and, yeah, it had a nice touch of humor, and I enjoyed it. It looked like a SoundCloud, but I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
No. Because I just put this in 5 minutes ago. So.
I know. I'm slipping now. I couldn't have it done. Ask Pam, she'll tell you.
No problem.
Okay, Pam, I'm going to put your piece up next, and I'm going to finish my piece.
Right.
Nicholas and Thalia by Pam Ray.
All right. Well, this is part one. Part two, people will have to read on their own. That link is in the AN. My goal was to write part three for tonight's show, but, you know, sadly, like most plan, it went astray. So, but anyways, it goes like this. The man leans back on his couch, closes his eyes, and rubs his forehead. How many damn times can one person start the same draft over? And what the hell was he thinking when he walked away from the family furniture store to pursue a career in stand-up? Hello, Nicholas. He quickly jumps to his feet. Who the hell are you? And how the hell did you get in my apartment? A woman dressed in a long floral skirt, an oversized tie-dye t-shirt, a red hooded cape, and a Greek comedy mask extends out her arm. I'm Thalia, pleased to meet you. He picks up his cell phone and she lets out a giggle. Nicholas, it's pointless to call the police. If I wanted to hurt you, I could easily get away with it because I know people. And I don't mean unimportant people like human leaders of first world countries. I'm talking deities, including my father, Zeus. You're crazy, he says, coming in here dressed like that, wearing some sort of freakish mask and telling lies. She removes the mask, revealing a cherub-like face that makes it difficult to pinpoint her age. I like the way I dress, and as far as being crazy, well, yes, a little, but aren't we all? And being insane and being a liar are not always one and the same. A frosted mug appears suddenly in her hand. Now sit down, sip on this cold beer, and relax. She has a soft, hypnotic voice and clearly expects no argument. Good. Now we can talk. You have a promising future, and I'm here to make sure you don't F it up. Do you know what your problem is, Nicholas? I have many problems, he retorts, one of them being I don't like to be called Nicholas. Ah, yes, Nick. I forgot you're sensitive about your name because that's what your daddy calls you every time he's disappointed. Thalia ignores his glare and continues talking. You're funny, but you're not as successful as you could be because you care too effing much about what people think. You're overly politically correct. You're constantly apologizing, and you refuse to cuss because every time you think about it, you can see your blue-blooded grandmother staring down her nose at you. I swear all the damn time. You swear like an effing Nick. Now, 3 years ago, you told your father off, left the family money, and swore never to go back to it. And now here you are thinking that maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you ought to go crawling back. Well, I'm here to tell you, no effing way, mister. That ain't happening. Not on my watch. Nick stared at her with an expression of appalled amusement. You accuse me of caring too much about what people think, but you're the opposite extreme. You don't seem to care what anyone thinks of you. Her laughter was starlight and sugar. She tossed back her hood to reveal turquoise eyes sparkled with mischief and mass of frizzy auburn hair with no sense of direction. Darling, I'm one of the nine muses. I'm the daughter of an effing god. I've given humanity gifts they don't deserve. Of course I don't give a rat's ass what anyone thinks. You're crazy, woman. We've already established this, Nick. And don't you know, Nick? You're going to be a big star in comedy, and a big star always shines brightest with a crazy bitch as his muse. Now go grab a notebook, pen, and a fresh bottle of whiskey. It's time to get this partnership started. And boom.
Great story, Pam. Great story.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That was incredible. Kate, do you want to start us off?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, I'm going to have to read the first part, and you have to finish the third part, please. This is so good. I love it. You've got the characters. It's just so easy to... I can see them. You know, beautifully written, and you read it incredibly well. It's a long poem to read. It was really well done. I just thought it was so clever. I love it. He walked away from the family furniture store to pursue a career in stand-up. Oh, I love it.
Well, thank you.
I'm just
Thank
so
you.
Pleased.
And I do apologize for the swearing. I did try to clean it up, but I, and honestly, though, I did forget how much I had this particular character swear.
Oh, I love that.
Part of her personality.
No, I kind of made it a little more, I don't know, I don't want to use the word realistic, but, you know, it just made it more convincing, I guess, the story itself.
It definitely did. It sounded like an actual, you know, there's a conversation going on here that I could see these two people and I could see her laughing in his face. Did you have any particular comedian in mind when you wrote this? No?
Not really. I mean, I was kind of, well, not an exact one, but I was kind of thinking of, you know, like George Carlin and those kind of ones that aren't afraid to, like, use a cuss word when it makes a strong point and aren't afraid to be unpolitically correct. I mean, I know there's other examples but besides George Carlin, but that's one that came to my mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, cool. It was very good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever. So thank you so much for putting it on the board. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was a great addition to the show and a wonderful piece to kind of end on. Wow. I'm just tripping over everything. Just a really incredible story here, Pam, and there was so much to the piece itself. But I did think it was really an excellent addition to the show tonight. I would say, you know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You know, just definitely well done. You know, your storytelling is always wonderful. So it's no surprise to me. And I'll have to check out the other parts to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where I was when you read it the first time, but apparently I was nowhere to be found. And that was like November of 2019. Oh, I think you probably did it for a late night show. That's probably what it was. It's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. The language is a giveaway on that one.
Yes, you're back.
That's okay. He didn't make noise until just now, so it's all good. He was quiet. So life is good. And I sent him a message telling him I tried to get him at 20 after 11, so you know. I can't do more than that. But anyhow, what a great show, what a great bunch of poetry we had. And thank you for putting up extras. I appreciate that. And, I'll move Lou and Laurent over to Friday night. And if they can't make it, well, I'll figure it out. I'll move it to another night. I'll just shuffle them poems around. It's all good. But, so anyway, ladies, thanks for coming and hanging out with me. It's almost quitting time. And, we have what? Oh, a minute left. I that was good timing all the way around.
Wow.
Very well done.
You did.
Very well done.
Great show. Great topic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Now I have to come up with one more for next week. God. Okay. Well, this should be fun. Anyway,
what a
great night. And thanks for sharing with me, ladies, your time and your voice and your poetry and all that jazz. I appreciate you guys very much. And Pam, as always, and Kate, too, you know, you've become one. Thanks for being my twisted sisters.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know, I mean, that's one way to get adopted, right? You get adopted and called a twisted sister.
That's
the way
it
goes.
There you go.
Yeah. I've been called worse. Let me tell you, I have been called worse. And I didn't have a problem with that either. So. Anyway, listen, ladies, have a great night. I know Pam's usually, she's probably hovering over that end show button.
You know me so well. I really am.
I know. She was either hovering over the end episode button or the hang-up button on her phone. One or the other. I know she's
there. Yeah. The hang-up button on my phone.
The same. Anyway, ladies, thank you very much and have a great night. And I'm sure I'll see you sometime tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Take care. Good night, guys.
You too.